Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health and wellness, with host, board-certified nutrition and wellness practitioner, Martina DeGoot, and co-host, Kimberly Briggs. Together with expert guests, they bring you the very best in holistic health and wellness. Your comments and feedback are important to us. To speak to the host, call 914-338-0741. That's 914-338-0741. Now here is Martina DeGoot.
Welcome, welcome again to another episode of the Healthy Explosion Show with Martina DeGoot and Kimberly Britt. I am Martina DeGoot, your host, and I am back in Atlanta after a month of on-the-road shows in London, England. It was so good to be back in the UK. Big shout-out to our UK listeners and my family who are in the UK listening today. Kimberly, you have also been traveling quite a bit. How are you?
I have. We've both been all over the place. I'm good. I've arrived in Chicago, where I'm just moving into a new place here. I'm excited, and kind of some crazy weather out in the Midwest these days with storms and high winds and whatnot, but we made it safe and sound, so all is well.
Yeah. My goodness. And another tornado in Oklahoma City.
I know, and in St. Louis as well, where I have some family, so it's just crazy.
Oh, no. Well,
yeah, everyone's fine, though, of course.
Yeah, prayers go out to those who lost their lives and just, you know, those who are displaced, and just pray that, oh, that is it, and they won't be attacked again. That's only been within the last few weeks.
I know, yeah, it's been a very compounded,
very rocky. Now, you were also in Canada, because one of the shows you actually broadcast was from Canada.
Yes, last Saturday I was in Montreal.
It
gets very cold in the winter. I've been there in the winter where it's been 40 below before, so... That is cold. But, no, it was not too bad when we were there. That's where my boyfriend Yuri's family's from, Montreal. So got to brush up on my French a little bit and
awesome.
See his family. So it's great. Yeah.
That's really great. We actually had a chance to, it wasn't long, but we did go to France for a day. So that was really good.
Oh, awesome.
While in the UK. Okay. Kimberly, we have had some really interesting shows in May. Beginning with the vitamin D deficiency, I think also mind-body exercise, the ins and out of emotional eating. And last week's show, we ended the month on raw food with Nuina Kai. So it's been an interesting month.
For sure.
Now, to our listeners, be sure to visit HealthyExplosionShow.com's website. There you can listen to our archive shows. Visit the marketplace. We have products and services listed in the marketplace. And also read the latest news and updates on the show. We also have a monthly newsletter on our previous month's shows that you can also download. There are even recipes available for download. Today's show is a recap of what Kimberly and myself have experienced through our travels in May as it relates to the UK-USA wellness connection. Kimberly, I'm going to just ask you, I know it's US-UK, but you are in the Canada area, and so I'm interested to find out, in terms of overall health and wellness, what did you find in comparing, let's say, the U.S. to Canada in terms of overall health and wellness and the obesity and other lifestyle diseases? What did you notice while you were there?
For sure. I noticed a couple of interesting caveats. I was in Quebec specifically, so Quebec is kind of unique to the rest of Canada, and it's unique in that obviously they speak a different language, but also they have a really high rate of smokers still. It's kind of so odd to see in this day and age, but yeah, you know, see people, it's not uncommon, lined up outside, kind of taking a break from work, smoking. So I noticed that was interesting. And they have a different healthcare system there, obviously. Everybody has healthcare, and they can have kind of anything they need for free, essentially. So I wasn't sure if maybe that was a reason people were kind of a little more lackadaisical with their health in that sense. But in terms of eating, definitely on a different level than the United States. I mean, Quebec is known for, they don't have any chain restaurants, pretty much. I mean, like, you'll see, I don't even remember if I did see a McDonald's, but I'm sure there's, oh yeah, there's like one McDonald's downtown. But other than that, there are like really no chains. It's all kind of singularly owned restaurants that focus on kind of seasonal ingredients, a lot of French cooking. So it's kind of some rich ingredients, but smaller portions. And yeah, just a much lower rate of obesity, just from what I could observe with my own eyes as it compared to some cities in the United States.
That's very interesting. You know, one of the things I noticed right off, because, you know, I'm here in Atlanta, and let's face it, you just moved out of Atlanta, so you know it's a very big state. And when I'm not just talking about the size, I'm talking about, you know, overall people. You have to really look very hard to find, you know, the people in, say, out of 10 people who are actually within their normal weight. So that is a big problem here. One of the things I noticed in the UK, and I was in the London area right off, was the fact that people are all walking about, you know, and I know you lived in London for a while. It's easier to get around on transportation versus driving with the traffic and also gas prices. So one of the things I noticed was people are walking, biking quite a bit, and overall very active. And it's easier to walk and take the transit system there versus driving. So that probably was one of the reasons there were more bike lanes available. And so biking is encouraged, and so is taking the transit system. I don't know if this is the reason for the difference in the UK-US obesity rate, because it's a lot less. It's like you find people who are pretty much trim. I'm not going to say that there aren't people who are obese there, but overall, you know, you have to really look to find people who are overweight or obese versus here, where, you know, it's pretty common.
Right.
So that's an interesting, you know, that's an interesting fact. Also with the UK, you know, there is the national healthcare system, which actually takes care of people's health. But one of the things I noticed, though, is that, and that's just, again, because I lived in the UK for a while, many, many years ago, but I noticed people, you know, they would go and they would get their checkups. So it's, to me, it seems as though they were encouraged to make sure that they had their checkups, even including dental care, which is really good. You know, here in the U.S., you can't really find dental insurance. It's ridiculous. If you do find it, it doesn't cover very much. So I was impressed with that, you know. In terms of the fast food restaurants, I'm sad to say, they're all over the place. I saw Papa John's. I saw McDonald's.
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh. There was KFC. You know, they were pretty much throughout. However, there were a lot of other restaurants. And another thing that I was very impressed with was the fact that one day we just wanted to have, you know, some Chinese takeaway. Went to the restaurant, and the container was half the size of what they actually give you here in Atlanta. So if you should order the size. So I was really impressed. I said, wow, it's really interesting. It was small, but it was still quite, you know, filling because, number one, we shared, two of us shared that smaller container. But here, you would get double or almost probably triple the size, And then people, because of the larger size portion, would be more apt to trying to finish that portion. Portion size. So that was something that I noticed right away. And another thing is this, that, you know, because I'm on an organic eating lifestyle like yourself, I was able to find fairly reasonable organic products. So that was good. I was very impressed with that as well. As a matter of fact, I couldn't tell maybe a few pence difference, or maybe 15, 20 pence, but it wasn't that much of a difference in terms of the overall products. Now, grant you, I wasn't buying meat because I'm not a meat, I don't eat meat, but in terms of other items, vegetables and so forth, there was quite a bit, you know, selection to choose from. And so that was, you know, that was good. What did you find about the local, I guess, food availability in terms of the organic foods in Canada, where you were?
In Canada? Yeah. So that was huge. Actually, they have if anyone's ever been to Montreal, they have a market called the Atwater Market, and then they also have a larger one called the Jean Talon. And you can go there, and literally it's full any day of the week of farm fresh food. And the farmers that grow the food are usually there working, or their families are there working the stands. And that's kind of where you do your grocery shopping. There are some grocery stores, but it's a lot more European in the respect that you kind of just go to a market and maybe pick up what you need for maybe that day or the next day. And you know where it's coming from, and you're pretty confident that it hasn't been, you know, altered in many ways at all. So that was awesome, because in the U.S., we just don't really have, like, you can find some markets, but it's a lot harder, I think, to find markets that are there every single day with, you know, farmers right there supplying. I mean, I haven't seen that, at least, as frequently as I have in Canada, so... That was awesome. I noticed the same thing you said, though, about public transportation. In Quebec, there's a lot of public transportation, and gas is so expensive there as well. They actually have these bikes called, they're called Bixie bikes, and you can rent them. They're all throughout the city, and you can just rent them and just ride wherever you want to go and then just return them, and they're pretty cheap, like really cheap. And I think that's an awesome system because that keeps people, it keeps people active, but it almost is a form of public transportation in itself.
That's true. I'm glad you mentioned that, because they have this, I don't know if that's what it's called, but they have a similar system where you see all of these bikes for rent, and people can actually just rent them and return them. And they appear to be all over the city. And as you were mentioning about fruits and, you know, vegetables, we were in the West End, and there were actually... You know, you could buy, there was like an open market there that you could buy fruits and vegetables right there. So instead of going to the fast food, you had the option to stop and buy an apple or blueberries. So that was really impressive because it was right. And, you know, the West End is high tourist area. And it was right there. So as soon as we turned the corner, there was the store. I mean, there was, you know, the merchant, which that was really impressive.
That's awesome.
I was impressed with that. You know, I mean, I know they have those here in Atlanta. I'm not taking away from that. But, you know, you have to actually seek them out. They're not right there in the middle of the
right,
city.
Exactly.
Gives another option. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to find the fast food there in London. You are. There's a lot of fast food, and I think that's one of the reasons why the obesity rate is rising there. But it's still so much lower than, you know, the UK. Like, for instance, I think based on my research, the obesity rate of Britons is about 26%. So that is a lot lower than the U.S. And it's not all over. They said it's more concentrated, I think, in the southeast area of London. And so it's very, very interesting. But I think one of the biggest problems that we have, no matter where we're located, is the portion control. and mm-hmm. and the fact that there are so many easy places. And when I say easy, they're right there. I mean, in the neighborhoods, you have the various, and it doesn't necessarily have to be one of the name brands, but you find pizza places, and not just pizza, but also fried chicken, and different things that are really going to add to that unhealthy lifestyle.
And, for sure.
And again, that's where education comes in. But I really think that without knowledge, we perish. So once people start to understand, look, you can, not that you have to get rid of the things that you like to eat, but just find healthier versions of those foods. Would you agree?
Exactly. I totally agree with that. Yeah.
I know. So, I completely forgot about our disclaimer. Just want to mention that the topics that we discuss on the show is not intended as a substitute for regular medical care. Always consult your physician or healthcare provider before changing your diet or exercise routine, and don't stop taking your medication. The goal of holistic health is to, go to the foundation and eventually make one healthy so they're not dependent on those drugs. But you don't stop taking your medication without guidance from your healthcare provider. So please make a note of that, because there are some medications you just cannot stop taking on your own because there's side effects. So you really want to make sure that you consult your healthcare provider before doing that, no matter where you are. So just wanted to mention that. Last week's show was really good. We covered a lot on raw foods. And one of the things that we mentioned was that while raw food is great, it really is, but it has to be on an individual needs basis. Not everybody could tolerate raw food. Again, that's why it's so important to understand what your needs are and adjust your eating lifestyle based on those needs, but not the cookie cutter approach. So that was one of the things that we really wanted to drive home last week.
Definitely.
Even, people who are diabetic, right, Kimberly, while they're very healthy and delicious fruits, the tropical fruits, if you've got problems with your balancing sugar or you're diabetic, then you would want to stay away from those, because while they're naturally sweetened, it's going to actually cause your blood sugar levels to spike. So not all juicing recipes you'd be able to participate in, because some of them could actually, even though they're healthy, be harmful to you. So you really want to make sure, again, this is why we urge, getting those metabolic testing done to find out what your numbers are. All numbers, right? What your numbers are. It's so important.
And where you stand hormonally, too, because that's pretty much, what we're getting at is, like, if this fruit is good for one person who they handle, glucose and fructose very well, but then it's going to spike someone else's insulin, kind of understanding with the help of your healthcare provider where you stand hormonally and how your body's responding to different foods, that's when you can understand better, like, which diet is going to be for you or how to modify any diet that you might want to, put yourself on.
So true. I had a free seminar while I was there in London. So one of four things that I wanted the audience to take away, things that actually affect your health. Number one was stress. Number two, nutrition. Number three, toxins. And number four was hormonal imbalances. These are all factors that they're all interrelated, really. But those are things that can really damage your health. You could be eating healthy, but you're under a lot of stress. It's going to tear down your immune system. Toxins will cause all of those, stress problems, hormonal imbalances. So those four things are all interrelated, and it's so important to really pay attention to your health. Watch for signals. And that's why it's so important also to understand what those signals are so that you can make the adequate adjustments in to improve your health. Because your health is your wealth, as we say, Kimberly, live it well.
We do say that, yeah.
You know, there was something that I noticed one of the, you know, through the research, and it had to do with the UK. They said that overall around 8.4% of the UK's gross domestic product is spent on healthcare.
Wow.
Which they said it's actually low in comparison to the US, because the US equivalent, it says that the US has the highest health spending in the world, and it's equivalent to 17.9, or just say 18% of its gross domestic product. So that is really scary. And it says it's an average of $8,362 per person. Not all, it's private. The government actually spends $4,437 per person on health care costs. And it's interesting because you find that, you know, countries like Canada, and I don't know what their actual cost is. I know it's not anywhere as high as the U.S., but you really have to, and to really compare apples to apples, and, you know, lifestyle, and also the fact that while the U.S. has more population, but still, in the UK, they're spending less on healthcare, and healthcare is affordable for everyone. And I know this is a touchy subject, so I'm really, you know, addressing it very carefully. But, you know, when you travel, and don't always pay attention to what you hear in the news, seeing things for yourself is so much greater. I've had the opportunity to really, you know, just take a look while I was there in the UK to see the differences, and being there all by months, you know, gives you enough time to, I think, make a good assessment. I know your visit to Canada was shorter, but I know because that's a place that you've visited many times. So you also have a good understanding. Do you happen to know offhand? I think we have it on the charts of what Canada spends on per person on their health care.
I don't know. I know it is somewhat high. I don't know if it's as low as the UK, but they also do have, you know, health care provided by the government, so I'm sure it's not going to be as high.
No, that's true. And also, I was speaking with one of the guests we had on the show last month, first part of the month, and she is originally from Canada, and she mentioned that they embrace, you know, holistic health up in that area. Have you noticed that?
They do. Yeah, I have noticed that. I was in Montreal for about 2 months in the fall of last year, and I had gotten sick, and I was kind of referred to a homeopath, of all things. And it was so odd to see, just because, you know, I don't think that would really happen in the United States unless your doctor just happened to be kind of one of those renegade doctors.
Right.
In my experience, I at least personally, I've never been referred to a homeopath or a naturopath or anything like that from an MD. So that was really interesting. Yeah, no. And then once I did see the homeopath, I was given like a full hour's worth of counseling and just talking to, and she really got a full picture of kind of my overall health starting from childhood. So it was really interesting. And I know a lot of people are somewhat skeptical of homeopathy, but whether you are or not, I definitely agree with you that if they kind of do embrace these alternative like healthcare forms, for sure.
Yes. And I've noticed that in the short time, well, a month, but still, I've noticed that, and I was happy to see they're also embracing this in the UK as well. It could have a fact to do with that, you know, obesity is on the rise, and they want to nip that in the bud, because of course, the government is paying, they want to make sure that they keep the cost at a certain or lower the cost. They don't want to get it to get any higher, which is, it, you know, it's really very interesting. And another thing in this article, and I think, I know you didn't have a chance to look at it, but this particular article mentioned the fact that, you know, you will hear, like, people, you know, in the U.S. will talk about government-run healthcare, but we already have that through Medicare and Medicaid. It's already here. But we also have the worst problem. So I'm just, I'm not proposing socialized medicine. You know, that's, we're not doing that. We're just saying that, you know, I think if there was more of a proactive approach towards alternative care, then it would help to reduce the problems that we're having in this country with obesity, diabetes, you know, the cancers. It would, it would make it start to, you would start to see decline versus increase. And overall, we're not seeing any decline that I'm hearing. It's just going up. Some things may have stayed the same in certain areas, but there's still no tangible decline that's happening in, with obesity or
no.
even diabetes. That's just running out of control. So there have to be some things addressed, and you have to go to the foundation, which is an alternative choice. What do you think about that? Do you agree with that, Kimberly?
I completely agree. I've studied this a lot just because I feel like I find myself always asked the question, like, how did we get to this point? We have some of the best researchers in the world, some of the best science to support all these preventative measures that we just don't seem to be pursuing in the United States. And it's a shame because the number one reason, at least in the U.S., people go bankrupt are costs associated with healthcare. So if you can prevent that, it's not only something that we need to do from a health perspective, it's something that we can't afford not to do from an economic perspective. So I really, I feel like we will start to move in that direction eventually. I just, you know, again, without getting too controversial, it's a problem because a lot of the companies that have money in the United States and a lot of pull in our government, they're pharmaceutical, and they're some of the, you know, food manufacturers that maybe aren't creating the best foods for us. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes that I think you always have to take into consideration, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I think this was put out by Kaiser, but it says hospital care and physician for clinical services combined account for half or 51% of the nation's healthcare expenditures, which was really interesting. And then there's another article. This was, I think, January of last year, 2012, by Forbes. It's a Forbes, on Forbes.com. I think Rick Ungar, and I guess we'll put the link up just in case anyone wants to read. But it says that U.S. healthcare hits $3 trillion. That's a lot.
That's
a lot. Oh my God, that's quite a bit. And so it should be scary enough where people are really wanting to, at least those who are in, you know, control would want to really make a difference. And they're saying since 2002, employer-sponsored health care for family premiums have increased 97%. That's within 10 years. That's really scary. And, you know, we've got so many different problems. We've got a lot of problems. It just, you know, I'm looking at these numbers. It's really alarming.
It is really alarming.
Yeah, very alarming.
It's staggering. Yeah.
Really. We are going to take a break, and we will be back in 1 minute.
Welcome to Healthy Explosions Global Holistic Online Nutrition Training and Coaching Programs, the ultimate in individual health and wellness empowerment, offering state-of-the-art virtual classrooms with live instructor-led course experiences, individual and group programs, and CEU-approved courses. No travel, no stress, no hassle. Available from any location. Ideal for employee wellness program with tried, tested, and proven results. If you are ready to take control of your health, understand nutrition for your individual needs, understand your lab test results, and the signals to determine imbalances within your body, as well as the art of eating for good digestive health, then this program is for you. So, take your health to the next level. Sign up for one of our courses today. Still not convinced? Request a free 30-minute Skype consultation with a specialist or email programs@healthyexplosion.com.
Welcome back to the Healthy Explosion Show. You're listening to Martina DeGoot and Kimberly Britt today. Want to just send out some information to the UK audience. We will be adding a Healthy Explosion London UK show coming in July. So that's really going to be, I think, exciting. I've just, you know, not only have I lived in the UK in the past, but, you know, have a lot of family and friends there. So I think our show would be well served on a local level. So we'll be, you know, targeting local advertising, and also you have a chance to call in. It'll be a local London version of the Healthy Explosion show. Isn't that exciting, Kimberly?
That's so exciting. It's great news. I mean, I look forward to all the new additions that we get to have from the London aspect. It's a completely new perspective, and it's going to be great.
Yes, it will. So London listeners, spread the word. Coming in July, there'll be a local Healthy Explosion UK version of our show. One of the other topics that we covered earlier in the month had to do with vitamin D. And Kimberly, I think you were you were absent. I'm not calling you out on that particular show. You were unavoidably absent on that date. But that was a very, very interesting. And I'm mentioning vitamin D because I was actually in a health food store in London, and a customer came in looking for vitamin D. And she mentioned that vitamin, you know, because in the winter months she take vitamin D, she doesn't really need it in the summer months. And, you know, it's a misnomer. You do need vitamin D. And one of the big problems is the fact that we're not getting enough vitamin D, which leads to so many health-related problems. Again, this is where knowing your numbers is so important, because if you have, you know, the metabolic testing done, and when I said metabolic, metabolic testing is, it's individualized, and it's not across the board. A lot of time it has to do with saliva testing and other non-intrusive ways of testing and getting accurate results. Know what your numbers are. You know, we are the most important person. It's true, because if we're ill, then we're not going to be able to take care of families, ourselves, or even work well for our employers. So it's very, very important to really know what your numbers are. Again, education is the key, and that's why we're always stressing that. Information is power. So knowing your numbers is just so, so important. But places, Kimberly, like the UK, where, you know, it's not as though you're getting a lot of sunlight throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are deficiencies there. But even if you are in a place where there's a lot of sun, depending on what, like sunscreen and different things you're putting on your body, you know, that's also going to actually reduce, or in a lot of cases probably bring it down to zero, the amount of natural vitamin D that this is being absorbed. And mm-hmm. also, which is very, well, I wouldn't say shocking, but a bit alarming, is the fact that people who are obese will not absorb vitamin C via the sun, because mm. there's so many layers, and it makes sense, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. So again, if you know, if you're overweight and you're trying to absorb vitamin D via the sun, it's not going to work. So it is very, very important to make sure that you have your levels checked and know where you are. And another problem is, once people realize, okay, I need to do this, before getting the testing done, you know, many people, and you worked in I think where you were here, actually where they were, was it a health food place where people would come in and they know they want to make changes, but they didn't know exactly which vitamin to take and so forth. Share a little bit about that.
Exactly. I worked at a store that sold supplements primarily, and it was one of the more mainstream stores, but I did find a lot of people coming in with kind of a knowledge that they needed vitamin D, but definitely I feel they had no clue as to how much they needed, and they would kind of ask me, and I'm from the school of, I've always researched and been told throughout my own, you know, experience with health, that you kind of need more than what the FDA or whatever, you know, organization says you need.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like they will say you need at least, I think it's like 1,000 IUs a day for kind of just everyone. But I've actually been told through research, or I've learned through my research, through my master's, you can need as much as 25, let's see, was it 1,000 IUs per 25 pounds body weight? You know, don't quote me on that. You know, find out what you need specifically. So that's significantly more if you're dealing with, for example, a man who's in the store asking me how much he needs. So I always try and counsel, like, how much sunlight do you regularly get? Are you always wearing sunscreen? That's another thing. We have so much SPF just put into our makeup, and especially as women, our makeup and our body lotions, you may not even know it's there. And on a day when you're outside for maybe just 20 minutes, you've gone ahead and now kind of stopped any absorption of vitamin D, which might have been possible. So, you know, it's just kind of having this overall awareness of what you're getting and what you might need. So I definitely noticed that. For sure. I think people knew how much, but they didn't really know what was a quality source of vitamin D. A lot of people are afraid of the sun. So I noticed that as well. And yeah, it was eye opening for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. And also another thing that is really a little, I hate to use the word frightening. There's so many things that are going on now. But it is. There's a lot. The average person, I'm not saying, but when I say the average person, someone that's not knowledgeable about natural health, will put so many different things on their skin. And, you know, our skin is the largest cell of the body. And a lot of time there are things that are placed on the skin that actually not only does it absorb as toxin into the body, but it will create huge hormonal imbalances. We did a show several months back on estrogen dominance, right? I think we've done how many shows, maybe 4 to 5 different shows, Kimberly?
We've touched upon it a lot,
hormonal problems. And that's also a big issue because the average physician that you visit is not knowledgeable about the hormonal imbalances. And
exactly.
So that's something, whether you're male or female, that you really want to, again, go back and make sure you get those testing done, find out what your levels are and what needs to be done. Addressing things from the root is the only way to, number one, start to restore. If you have a building that, like, let's take the buildings in the UK, they've been around for centuries, and you could see the structure still sound, but you look around and you see decay. Well, decay on the outside means there's some also some things that may be going on. There's some times when you don't even see any decay on the outside, but you have no idea mm-hmm. what's going on the inside. If you want to bring that building back to life, you go in and you start, what, knocking out the sun, just getting to the root of the foundation and rebuilding. And that's really what we have to do in terms of our health is look at where we are and get to work in cleaning up whatever mess we have going on inside of our bodies. And it's not just the body, the mind and the spirit all work together. So, you know, you could be taking care of your body, but you're very stressed out. You've got so much stress going on, which is further tearing down your immune system. So there's just, you know, so much that we need to be, constantly be aware of in order to live a healthy lifestyle. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. with all the stressors, you know, of unemployment, you know, so many different, you know, crises in life, people do go through those stressful periods. But the more stress you have, it's the worse the condition of your body will be. And I know that firsthand. So stress will definitely create a serious problem. Also, Kimberly, we had a show on skin talk. We've covered so mm-hmm. many different topics, haven't we?
We've done a lot.
Those, right. Those who are listening to the show and it's recently that you started listening, go to our archives. There's so many great mm-hmm. topics that we've covered. I think we did two different shows on skin talk, talking about mm-hmm. the skin, and we even had shows on water. How important water is to the skin, to the body, mm-hmm. and the different types of water. We really have a wealth of information in our archives. I urge you to avail yourself to them, listen, because, you know, very rarely do you remember everything you hear the first time. So practice makes perfect. You may have to listen to the shows a couple of times. Take out your notepads. We've had experts in the area of bioidentical hormones, adrenal glands. I mean, we've even sleep. We've had Dr. Dermer. He's one of the top neuroscientists and physician in the country, and he focuses on sleep technology. And it's amazing, you know, that snoring that we have sometimes. it's a signal that there's something going on. So all of these things are very, very crucial to really maintaining good health. Anything, Kimberly, and any other things that you could mention about even where you are now in the Midwest? I know.
Sure.
Have you been there before? And just talk about that area.
Well, I've been to the Midwest of the United States many times just because that's where my family's from. So mm-hmm. I've spent quite a bit of time here, not Chicago specifically, more St. Louis area. But I noticed right away that, you know, we're kind of, except for when you're in the middle of the city, in farm country in the U.S. So there's a lot more, I think, awareness about farming. I grew up in New York. So, and not in, like, 30 miles north of New York City, so nowhere close to kind of, like, real rural farmland. And I never understood, I think, growing up, the challenges that farmers in the U.S. are facing and that these problems existed or that there was a market for farm-grown food, but really kind of no one's interested, I guess, in taking it. So having been here, it's something I've always been interested in. My mom grew up on a farm, so I mean I've always been exposed to farm life in the Midwest in that respect. But I now, just moving to Chicago, I want to kind of research if there's any organizations, I'm sure there has to be a few, that are using local farms to help bring in food to underprivileged kind of societies within within the U.S. because these are farmers that need to sell their food. They're maybe not able to sell their food to mainstream, grocery stores for whatever reason, because they have a lot of contracts these days, and they only kind of go to these big industrial farms. But other than that, we can kind of use this food to go to people in impoverished areas where they don't even have a grocery store. And that's a big problem in the U.S. that I was thinking about while I've, just throughout my life traveling, is there's people that live in the United States that only have access to, for example, a 7-Eleven for their food and or a gas station. And, we're blessed to live in a city or around a city where there's tons of grocery stores and markets and whatever you need. But I've kind of learned that there are food deserts out there, as I like to call them, where there's nothing available for what's packaged and what you can kind of buy at a gas station. And that's something I want to focus on in my career as a nutritionist, is how can we combat, because there's so much to go around. There's no need for people to go hungry.
That's true. And just to piggyback on what you just said, you made an excellent point. We also have a show on, it was a while ago, and I cannot think of the, you'll know, we've had so many different shows. But anyhow, she was actually, Griffin, she has a recently opened a store in the Griffin area of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave some very, very interesting information about the USDA, that they're actually offering a program where if you're interested in maybe doing a community garden, there may be funds available for that. Also, I believe that she also mentioned that in the a lot of the actual on the local level, not necessarily just the state, the federal level, but on the local level, you go to your cities, city officials, they may be able to give you grant or funding, or even a lot of the city land that's just sitting there, if you would actually cultivate it. So there are options if you're in one of those areas that you mentioned, Kimberly, where the only vegetables you're getting is that it's found in the local grocer, not even a grocer, shop, then you can actually, just take the initiative to start doing that. Another way as well is you can also start inside your home. And we had a segment on sprouting, not maybe fully on sprouting, but
we touched upon it,
which is something that, I've done quite a bit. Now, especially when you're traveling, it's a little more difficult and to actually sprout. So I'll maybe go to a Whole Foods, and they have Whole Foods in London. So I was really happy about that. And
that's
where
awesome.
You can, where you could get the sprouts that are already done. But sprouting is really a lot of fun. It's easy, and it's a way of actually turning the inside of your home into a healthy garden without the dirt, because it doesn't require
without
dirt. You just say, right. You just use the water to germinate, and once the seeds have been germinated in as little, depending on what you're sprouting, a couple of days, you have nice sprouts. Now, grant you, I don't think the average person could really, I'm not saying you're going to live off of sprouts, but sprouts, they're very healthy. You're getting 100% of the enzymes, which your body actually loves. But again, not everyone can actually tolerate raw, because it's really raw. Even though it's sprouted, it's still raw. It's just that it's very, very healthy. So you have to, again, know your body type, know what you can and cannot absorb properly, and then adjust your eating lifestyle to meet those needs. I want to stress that home. If you don't remember anything about this show, is for today, know your body type, know what it is that your body needs, and then work towards making those adjustments. And that's how we improve our health.
Everyone's different.
everybody's different. You could be triplets, but you all have different, right? As long as you have different DNA and different fingerprints, you have different needs. Similar, there's
exactly.
some similarities because of genetics. Of course, we have basic needs, but I'm talking about knowing exactly what you need for your particular body type, going
mm-hmm.
down to your DNA. So that's very, very important. Getting back to, you know, the UK, US comparison in terms of wellness, how do we bridge the gap? Because there is a gap when you look at the U.S. and compare it to other countries, even underdeveloped countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there are some underdeveloped countries that they have different types of problems, you know, food issues, you know, things of itself. But I'm talking about developed countries now. And United States, how do we get people to realize that, look, you've got to start taking accountability for your health? And that's basically it. You know, people like you, like myself, Kimberly, and so many other who are really passionate about health,
mm-hmm.
holistic health, you know, we know what making those sometimes small changes, what the benefits are. And so, you know, we wear our hearts on our sleeves. People see how passionate we are. And sometimes, you know, you feel as though you're not being well received. But it's just because we care and we know how making those changes can really benefit one's life.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we get people to realize that? One of the things is, and, you know, I have a lot of colleagues who are in, you know, yourself, who are in the holistic health field. And, you know, sometimes you tend to feel as though people aren't really interested. How do we, I'm talking about here right now in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
what does it take? I mean, you would think with all the high cancer rate, the diabetes rate and obesity that people would listen more. What does it take? I mean, how do we make those people start to listen?
Yeah.
Any ideas? I think it's a trillion-dollar question.
It is. I feel like, I mean, of course, there's so many answers and ways you could go with this, but I feel like it has to start from the top. And I think in countries that have, you know, they're smaller or, you know, they're different than the U.S. in many ways. But, for example, I spent some time in Denmark before. One of my best friends is Danish. And their government really makes healthy living, I think, an easier way to go, a better choice. And it's obvious to most people. They don't have available a lot of the chemical additives and all those kinds of things, the addictive additives that we find so rampant in the U.S. and all these other things, and it's kind of everybody rides a bike, like you noticed in the U.K., and kind of those incentives, I think, make it so much easier, because these days we're all focused on our family, putting food on the table just kind of in general, and paying the rent, and all of these different things that really are important as well, that I think health takes a back seat, which the point of our show is trying to remind people that in putting health in that kind of back burner position, you just set the stage up for more problems down the line. So I don't know. I think just more government implemented incentives and programs would make it a lot easier for people to kind of move in that direction.
It sounds great, but you know, when it comes to the U.S., anything the government mentioned, it cuts into where people are you're gonna hear so much about government interfering in our lives.
Yeah,
I know. That is like opening a can of worms here. You know, and
it
there
is,
have been when you look on, you know, the USDA and there's healthy.gov. There's a lot of different government websites that are really promoting, not just on the federal level, but also on the state level, healthier living.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think people are really taking it
to heart. I mean, not everybody is doing that. There are people that are genuinely concerned about their health, but it's a small percentage. The thing is, how do we increase the percentage of people who are concerned about their health and want to do something about it? Because there are programs, even what we mentioned before about monies being available, grants for people who want to plant community gardens. I think the young lady that was on our show a while back as well mentioned that there was an article where this woman was about to lose her home, and she was able to save her home because she had the land. She had a community garden and started supplying crops, fruits and vegetables or whatever it was that she planted. But in other words, she was able to turn that around and keep her home. So there are a lot of things out, a lot of programs, but I think, again, people really, first of all, have to have the interest, want to make the change, and then start to seek out those various options. Because I think it's there. It's just that people just, number one, anything to do with the government, they think it's the government is taking over. And, there are valuable information that people will not even research or look into because it's another layer, they feel, of government interfering in our lives. But let's face it, if something isn't done in a hurry, what's going to happen? $3 trillion. And we talk about the deficit problem. Hello? it's amazing.
It is. I think also there's a disconnect with MDs, and it's not their fault. We obviously need MDs for so many things, but I think there's a lot of disbelief within the medical community that nutrition actually does play a huge preventative role in disease and all these other things. I mean, when people go and see their doctor and they're pre-diabetic, they're kind of put on, or they have high cholesterol, they're putting on a statin, or not even have high cholesterol. They're just at a certain age where it's common for people to have high cholesterol. They're automatically put on a statin, which can cause all these other health issues. And there's kind of no counseling about what are you eating. And it's not their fault, because in most medical schools, doctors are only required to take one nutrition class, if that. So, and not that nutrition is everything. There's certainly other things that play a role. But I do think there is a disconnect between people go to their doctors for kind of counseling on their overall health, and there's a huge piece of the puzzle missing when these people are not even touching upon the subject of nutrition and lifestyle, even sleep and stress. So that's another issue, I think, that plays a huge role.
So true. Because, again, it's a prescription-based healthcare system. You walk in.
And surgical based,
You walk in to the doctor's office, and he takes out his pad and paper, and tell me what's wrong. And you could be totally oblivious to what's going on with you, but whatever you say, those are the prescriptions that you're going to be receiving.
Exactly.
And if you don't understand what's going on with your own body, you could be misdiagnosing. People going, I keep having these headaches. I don't know why I keep having these headaches. And headaches can be, they're warning signals to things that the body is lacking, But in some instances, the body could just be crying out for water. A lot of people do not drink
quality
Quality water. So there are things that we can do, but people just not aware. So this is why, education is so key. And with the radio program and also the global online learning program, to actually help you in finding out what your problems are, even if you don't have, even if you just want to improve your health. Not everybody really has serious health problems, but the thing is that you can benefit by improving on your health no matter what your health status happens to be.
Exactly.
Do you agree?
Exactly. I totally agree. I think that's a great point. No matter where you're coming from from a health perspective, these are things that no matter what, they would help you, and they would maybe also help you inform somebody else to change their life and inspire them. So I completely agree.
Yes. Well, we are almost at the end. We're just about at the end of our show for today. Kimberly, any last words?
Wow, this show flew by. I'm shocked at the end already. Yeah, but I love that we chose today to just talk about how some other countries, they have the right idea in terms of health. And I think in U.S. sometimes there's an attitude of like, oh, we're the best, we're the biggest. We might, you know, if we don't have it, then, you know, it's not worth having. But it is worth looking at these other countries because there's so much to learn from it, a global perspective in terms of health. If you just look at the stats, as we've mentioned, we're not the front runners in health, and it seems also in medical care in the world. So there's so much to learn, and open up your minds and don't be afraid to try something new and kind of be inspired by the way other people are doing things, because there are better ways out there. So
most definitely. Yeah. Well, it's good to be back in Atlanta. I'm still missing London, though. I really had a ball there, but hope to be back soon. You have been listening to another episode of the Healthy Explosion Show with Martina DeGoot and Kimberly Britt. And please tune in next week for another episode of the show. Don't forget to, our London audience, we're coming to your neighborhood in July. So look out for that. And we're going to be doing a lot of exciting things with the show. And also visit our website, healthyexplosionshow.com, for, again, information on past shows and just information on in general on upcoming events and so forth. Kimberly, until next time, enjoy the rest of your week. And we just want to say be blessed and see you next week. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Healthy Explosion Show, your best source for holistic health. Join us on Saturdays live at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Visit HealthyExplosionShow.com for information about the show, listen to archive shows, read our online newsletter, visit the Marketplace section for holistic products and services, and advertise your products and services. Don't forget to follow Healthy Explosion Show on Twitter and Facebook.